Here is an email. Can you recommend, is there a good range for blood pressure, and what would you suggest to achieve this range? See you in Cincinnati.
Okay, I'll see you in a couple, about a month. Cincinnati. I ignore all blood pressure levels. People need varying blood pressure levels. If you'll notice that the pharmaceutical houses, when they want more money, they'll lower or change their measurements, like cholesterol. You know, 60 years ago, it was okay to have a 230 cholesterol level. They decided that they could sell more blood pressure lowering and cholesterol drugs if they changed the figures. I found that a high blood pressure is very necessary for people who are overweight or they have congestive arteries or heart. You've got to push the blood through if the arteries are congested. So you better have high blood pressure. So the pharmaceutical and medical industries are making people very sick and keep them ill to keep them going to the doctors and taking medication.
After 30 years or so with your host here on a vegetarian diet, my blood pressure was non-existent, Hoginus.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, I know. Is it like, well, should...
so was mine.
Yeah, right? So how is it important for your host here to get it back up into like 110 or so? Because it's like 100 now. Is that an issue, do you think, for me and others with the low one?
Well, if you're eating enough raw meat and raw fats, it'll go back.
It'll go back up. It'll
turn on its own.
Okay.
And, of course, eating enough butter will certainly help that.
Boy,
butter,
a lot
honey
of,
together.
A lot of butter. Now, why do you recommend unsalted, grass-fed, raw butter?
Because in my experiments with animals, it's the most effective.
Right. And what does the salt of the butter do to it?
Well, salt is an explosive. More volatile than nitroglycerin. So if you isolate sodium, you know, about an amount of the size of a softball or two softballs is worth an atomic bomb. It is so volatile that if you change the temperature 5 degrees, it will ignite. That's why they don't use it as an explosive. It's too volatile. It can't be controlled. So when they put salt with, when they separate sodium, they never separate it completely for food. For a table salt, they usually put a potassium in with it or an iodide with it. So you have sodium iodide or you have sodium potassium mixture in it. So it won't be explosive while you're eating. However, when it gets in the body separates the sodium and you have all these explosions. Those where the sodium has been reduced to a substance where it can no longer be explosive by binding with other substances, they will bind together, or calls clumps together, and then your body can't eat. When these sodium molecules get into the body and they get set free, they explode the body's normal, the cell's normal smorgasbord of nutrients. So a smorgasbord of nutrients is like 93 to 117 nutrients all in one unit. You have vitamin A, D, all the vitamins, B vitamins, fats, proteins, everything. 93 to 117 nutrients. When a cell eats, it gets a full balanced diet every time. When you put salt in anything in the body, if it's sea salt, Celtic salt, it doesn't make any difference. Those are exploded and divided. So what happens when a cell goes to eat, it gets 23, 21, 19, no more than 50-some particles of nutrients. And so they never get a balanced diet. They're always deficient.
Wow. Wow. How do you figure that salt has been this sacred kind of a thing since... Oh, you know, the beginning
since
of time,
king,
I mean...
No, since the king and queen of England made it a big thing.
Yeah, even the word celery comes from salt. I mean, it's like
That's a natural sodium. Sodium is... sodium, when it's bound with other nutrients in a food, is in the perfect quantity, and relationship for us.
So you're saying that we humans do not need to take extra salt in any form?
Absolutely not.
Very interesting.
Yeah, the Windsor family, King, Queen of England, made it really big when they found that they could get people to eat lots of salt, because there were a lot of poor people in the world, more poor people than rich people, for sure. You know, you've got 1% of the population that's fairly wealthy and 99% of it not so wealthy. So when they didn't have refrigerators, their food stunk and didn't taste good all the time. So they found that salt made it more appetizing. So way back in Christ's time, you know, the salt became a big issue. Salt became a big thing with the Jews to preserve foods. Hmm. So it didn't stink, but it caused all the other diseases.
Very interesting. Here's an email.
What do you like
to know Ajahn's opinion about the raw zero carbohydrate diet?
Well, you need 5% of your diet carbohydrates to utilize fats and pyruvate as fuel. So everything has carbohydrates. Meat has carbohydrates. Everything has some carbohydrate. We are so toxic at this point, we need some more carbohydrates. So I recommend a little bit more than 5% carbohydrates of the diet. If we were healthy, we wouldn't need any extra carbs at all. The gorillas, it will chew on some leaves, and they eat green bananas that are very low in carbs, and they eat lots of meat every 28 days. They'll eat like 14 to 20 pounds of meat or more in a two-day period every 28 days. There are tribes like the Maasai tribe that the only time they get their carbohydrates is in their milk. They don't eat any fruit. They eat meats and dairy and blood when there's not enough milk. And they'll mix that with the mixed milk and blood together to supplement their loss of enough milk. But the carbohydrate, low carbohydrate, is a very good diet. My diet is a low carbohydrate diet, and it's a good one. However, some people need more carbohydrate if they're athletic, or they need more alcohol in their systems to dissolve toxicity.
Ryan wants to know, what's the best thing to do to gain weight in the form of muscle?
To eat one of my lubrication formulas for women. It's called a moisturizing formula. It's just a peeling word for each of them, but it's the same thing. It's blending eggs, butter, honey and lemon juice together. Tastes like a lemon meringue drink, and have one of those with a meat meal. And depending upon your size, let's say you're 5'8 to 6 foot, having at least a pound of meat twice daily with one lubrication formula. I've had many weightlifters or bodybuilders who can put on anywhere from 2 to 4 inches in about 3 months.
Wow. Now, what is the lubrication? So we have the lemon and butter and honey and milk and eggs. What does that do to the building muscle process?
No, in the lubrication formula, it's butter, egg, honey, and lemon only.
Okay. Butter,
well, what
egg.
What it does is supplies so much fat, so much protein at the same time, the body has excess. If you're working out, the protein will be used to build muscle to store that extra fat.
Oh.
And that adds and adds.
And that the proportions in the recipe would be in your recipe book.
Yes.
How to do that.
Book.
So butter, egg, honey, and lemon. That's interesting. Yes. Here's an email from Barbara. She wants to know, what is the value of coconut oil? What's it good for?
Well, coconut oil does a lot of things, just like any good pressed oil. It will lower cholesterol levels for people worried about cholesterol. It helps as a solvent. It'll go in and pull out and dissolve certain toxicity the same way olive oil will, or flax oil will, or any pressed oil of that nature. Vegetable oils are not good at all, and I can go into that if somebody's interested. But the coconut oil will cleanse the body. It can help stabilize it in some situations. It provides certain oil-soluble vitamins, which help cells in resilience and strength. However, any oil is very limited. Oils, as a matter of food, are usually no more than, in the coconut, it's 80%. Fats, however, only 7 to 10% are oils. Oils in a plant are usually 2 to 7%. So when you're isolating an oil, even if you're making lard and you're separating a certain fluid oil out of the butter or fat, you're isolating certain nutrients. You have a lot of fat-soluble vitamins that are not oil-soluble, they're water-soluble. So those fat water-solubles are not oil-soluble, they're water-soluble. And there are so many more water-soluble fats than there are oil-soluble fats. So you're going to have imbalances if you use oils.
The vegetable oils.
Correct. Well, even the olive oil, any of them.
Right.
Coconut oil.
Yeah, if you use it too much.
Yeah, use coconut cream. Then you have all of the oil and water-soluble fats.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many more nutrients.
So even the very best organic virgin crushed stone thing, olive oil, you're not a fan of?
Well, yes, I'm a fan of it, but you use it as medicine.
Okay.
Like a tablespoon a day.
Mm-hmm. Really helps the kidneys?
Well, it helps everything. Yeah. But it helps cells cleanse. Remember, any pressed oil is going to be more cleansing than stabilizing and neutrifying.
Mm. Here's an email from, David. How can one reverse the grain of hair? Thanks, and P.S., thanks for the vaccine refusal form. I'll mention that before we get out of here. We put that on our website. How does one reverse the grain of hair, says David?
The grain of hair or the follicle?
The grain of his hair, to get rid of his gray hair.
Oh, his graying hair.
Yeah, grain, sorry.
Gray hair.
Yeah.
Gray hair is usually caused by free radical minerals, especially aluminum. It destroys the pyrimethamine-benzoic acid ability to allow pigment in hair. So eating lots of raspberries with coconut cream and a little bit of dairy cream or butter helps get rid of aluminum.
Oh.
So if, let's say, you're a person who's 5'10", eating 3/4 cup of raspberries with about 3 to 4 tablespoons of coconut cream and 1 tablespoon of dairy cream or 1/2 teaspoon of butter will help remove aluminum from the brain, and that will remove it from discarding through the skull and then the scalp and damaging the pyrimethamine-benzoic acid, which is a B vitamin, PABA, it's called.
Hmm.
In the follicle.
Interesting. That's where the gray hair comes from.
Most of it, yes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, other minerals can cause, other toxic heavy metals can cause graying also, but in my experiments, I found that aluminum predominates.
And can we say, too, is it fair question or a statement that just the lack of mineral absorption with poor digestion and diet can cause it as well, you think?
I've never found that to happen.
Oh, really?
I found the hair loss and thinning hair.
Okay, but not the grain.
Yes, not the grain.
I'm enjoying the show. Justin says, does the guest have any thoughts on thyroid problems, causes, cures? Well, that's a big one, and that's one that's just rampant in epidemic proportions. First off, your ideas, Agnes von der Planitz, of what's the cause of all these thyroid issues in our culture?
Okay, well, I can include all the endocrine glands on this subject anyway, because it's a general one. The medical profession always loves to make specific things so they can give you a specific drug.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is our endocrine gland systems are not made to be functional, except in emergencies. Adrenaline is for fight or flight. Thyroid, parathyroids are to back up your heart and lung movements. It's got nothing to do with hair. That's the pharmaceutical industry telling you that you know, your hair is falling out to get you to take thyroxin. And both men and women hate hair loss. The idea of balding will just send them into a tither. They'll take any kind of thyroxin that's said will reverse balding. Now, it stops some balding, not because it's the thyroid function, it's because hormones are 60% fat, and they bind with toxins that can cause hair loss. So you just have to learn to eat differently. Because those people who it works for, you know, and most people it does not work for, it does not stop hair loss. It does not stop hair thinning. 80% of the people out there who take thyroid medicine for hair loss, it doesn't work. So endocrine glands are for emergency purposes only. The thyroid, as I just stated, is for keeping the heart and lungs functioning. When you're asleep, your thyroxin is high to keep the heart and the lungs working. If you fell out of a tree, knocked the wind out of yourself, you could stop your heart and your lungs from working. They could permanently be stopped from the injury, from the blow. The thyroid and the parathyroids kick in. Take a look at that. You've got two thyroid glands, one on each side, and then you've got four parathyroids. No other place in the body do you have the glands backing up glands. And that's because you're breathing in your heart. Movement is so important. So all these endocrine glands are for fight and flight, for emergency purposes only. We should not have high levels of hormones in our body. They should always be micro trace amounts. However, since everybody's eating badly, eating processed foods, eating chemicals galore, food additives, and pesticides and herbicides, inorganic fertilizers, they have all these chemicals in the body. The body is always in an emergency state of poisoning. So, of course, you're going to have high glandular levels, hormonal levels. And the pharmaceutical is just an opportunist. Pharmaceutical industry is just taking an opportunity to say, see, you need these. Instead of saying, get on a good diet so you don't need those hormones.
Should the guys listening be thinking about and doing different things to raise their testosterone levels?
Well, you can raise your testosterone levels by eating testicles of buffaloes and stuff like that if you want to raise it quickly. Eating things like sunflower and pumpkin seeds together with some raw butter and a little bit of honey will help raise it. That's the nut formula in the book, and with an egg, it'll even stimulate it more. So in my books, the nut formula helps that. If you want, there's some people out there that just don't have enough high blood pressure because the blood pressure is going everywhere else but in their penis. If you have that kind of problem, you don't want to go to a Viagra or any of those because in somewhere around the less than a third, but still that's pretty high ratio, the animals had penile deterioration.
I hate it when that happens.
No, I mean completely dissolution, where it looks like you've had your penis removed.
God.
Because it causes rupturing of capillaries and veins. That's why if you have an erection for more than 4 hours, they say go to a doctor. Because you probably have bleeding that is rupturing in there, and you can't stop the bleeding, and it's internal. So your penis will turn black and blue if that situation happens. And when it turns black and blue, all the surrounding healthy tissue is dissolved and the muscle's gone. So if you want a natural Viagra, eat things like cucumbers or especially watermelon rind. It has citrulline in it, and it has the same effect. You may have to eat it every day for a week, you know, to get it up to a par where if you eat just a little bit a day, you'll be able to perform most days. Of course, if you've got toxicity in your body, you're going to have a hard time with any kind of a healthy issue.
So interesting you mentioned that. We had a guest on not long ago that said that, well, you just have to look at the food. I mean, a cucumber looks like a nice big erect penis. Eat that, and it's good for it. Maybe he was right.
Well, there's that citrulline factor in the cucumber.
What is it, citrulline?
Yeah, citrulline. Now it doesn't have it in zucchini or any of the summer squashes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other squashes is just mainly, well, it does in a few of the other ones, like the acorn squash.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not round. I mean, that's not elongated. It's not phallic.
Acorn
squash.
Are figs good for the male issues?
Well, it's supposed to stimulate prostate excitement, which is the muscle that allows for ejaculation.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different foods that you can eat to stimulate different things around the sex glands to make it active, and figs are one of them.
What do you suppose is going on? There's so many, we get emails from guys that waking up 2, 3, 4 times in the middle of the night to go pee. What's been your experience, what that's about?
Oh, that's usually the urine being overly irritating and less mucus lining the bladder.
And how do we over-irritate the urine? What's causing that issue?
Well, it's like you said, it's either low mucus production that lines the, the urethra and bladder, so that the urine, even if it's in its natural acidic state, will be irritating to those walls, to those tissues.
Ah.
So you've got to increase your mucus production.
And we do that by?
By milkshakes with milk and eggs and honey together.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
Well, you know, Ajanus, one of my favorite things is raw milk with a couple of eggs and some honey and maybe a little dash of, like cinnamon.
Uh-huh.
Man, it's just like an eggnog. It is so
delicious.
So luscious. It's like, wow.
Yep, and you can take some nutmeg, the whole nut, and grate a little bit in there, too.
Can you please ask Ajanus his protocol to heal someone from ulcerative colitis? I think I heard him suggest raw eggs, but wonder if that would constipate me without having any fiber. This is from Casey.
Well, Casey, if you have ulcers, you need a blood clotting agent, and you can get that in a clotting agent, and it's just not only blood clotter, it helps tissue clotting. And that's green cabbage juice. Some people call it white cabbage, but it's not the Chinese cabbage, it's the head cabbage that is green. The red cabbage will do just the opposite. So green cabbage helps heal ulcers and helps stop bleeding.
Do you think we need...
And the eggs supply the nutrients, as I said, to be able to digest in 27 minutes so that you don't have to use your intestine, so the intestine can heal itself with all the nutrients from the egg.
Ah, I see. Ajanus, do you think that we should, or you recommend taking fish oils? Do we need these omega-3s?
If you're eating a lot of cooked foods, of course you need added nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the pharmaceutical industry saying, you know, take these supplements or take these pills so you don't get well, so you can keep taking them. If you stop cooking, you won't need all those supplements. You'll need those additions. But when you take those additional products, you will imbalance other things in your body. That's the problem. Imbalance is one imbalance. You have to correct it with another imbalance. Pharmaceutical, industry has elderly people who take, let's say, low cholesterol-lowering drugs and, blood pressure-lowering drugs. They have to take another 10 to 20 drugs to counterbalance what those drugs do. So they're taking 70, 80 medications a day. That is a profit bin for the pharmaceutical and medical industry.
Hmm. But do I also hear you saying, Ajanus, on the planets, that even these natural supplementation things that go around that so many people take in isolation, even though they're really, say, high quality, quote-unquote, they could also gum up the system, if I'm hearing you correctly.
They're all chemicals. Mm-hmm. They're all imbalances. And let's say you have to, any time, even if it's from food, you have to extract that nutrient from a food. It takes either a solvent or a heat process to do that. When you use a solvent process, 99% of the time, the laboratories use a kerosene derivative or a grain alcohol, a wood alcohol. Both of them are poisonous. Would you soak your peaches in wood alcohol or kerosene for 30 minutes and rinse it off and think you're going to be okay? It's absurd. So I don't care if it's derived from from a food, those companies, once they process it, it is no longer a food. It is earth that you can feed plants, and you can take those supplements and feed plants and then juice those plants or eat the fruits of those plants or give them to animals to eat, and then you'll get more concentrated nutrients of the variety that you're seeking. But that's a whole process, and that would be terribly expensive. However, getting any kind of a nutrient from a pure source will cost you $1,000 a pill. So all these companies who think they're putting out a good process and a good product go to a laboratory and say, I need you to make me something natural. I need these vitamins. And that company wants the work. They want the money. So they say, sure, we can do that all natural. We won't use anything that isn't natural. But what they do is they go to Purina, General Mills, General Foods, and take their waste products that have already been chemically treated and use those to extract the substances. If they went to a farmer and got the foods and went through all the different processes to get it to a supplemental form, it would cost you $1,000 a pill. So these people who are selling so-called good supplements have been hoodwinked by the laboratory who make them for them.
Hodgins, here is, I think we just have a couple more, if you can stick around. A 39-year-old female from Kansas City, and she said, I've been on raw food, mostly vegan, for a couple of years. Lots of fruit, soaked nuts, and I am sick, aching neck and shoulders, hair loss, usually don't sleep. I've just ordered some raw organic grass-fed bison, some grass-fed cow and goat cheese, and the Blue Ice fermented cod liver oil with high vitamin butter oil. You think I'm on the right track? Will these help me? And what kind of combinations of food should I think about eating to heal?
Well, as I said earlier, if you've been a long-term vegetarian, you're not going to have much digestive ability. So eggs, raw eggs, are always the best way to start it. I've eaten up to 50 eggs a day. I've had many patients who eat anywhere from 18 to 30 eggs a day to reinvigorate their intestinal tract.
Wow.
To rebuild it and restructure it. So eggs are always the best way, but you can go on that approach. You may have, get very, very, very sleepy and tired after eating those foods with a poor digestive record coming from the vegan diet. But they will definitely help. Eggs predominantly will help you the best. Of course, if you've been a vegan, your body's not going to be satisfied with just eggs, even that many. So you still might have one meat meal a day that's probably a half a pound of meat. And by meat, I mean any kind of flesh, whether it's fowl, fish, beef, four-legged animals, or otherwise. All those are meats. A lot of people mistake the word meat for red meat, and meat is any flesh food. So eating one meat meal a day would be very helpful with a lot of eggs. I would limit vegetable juice consumption altogether if you've been a vegan, except for maybe one cup a day. Stay away from fruits almost completely, unless it's papaya, and usually eat that with eggs and butter, and eat lots of butter. The cod liver oil, probably not the best thing to eat very much of, maybe a tablespoon a day, but butter, eggs, are your and honey would be the most valuable in getting started.
Now, when you say butter, let's be clear. What about folks who just can't find any grass-fed raw butter? Can they do the pasteurized organic butter from Whole Foods? Is that going to do
certainly
the trick?
You can, but it's certainly not going to do the trick.
I see.
Yeah, those people who say that, you know, freezing doesn't harm meat and butter or fats, I beg to differ. My experiments proved differently. And another scientist in the early 1900s proved differently that it did cause damage. So you can imagine that cooking causes even more. But let me just give you an example. I took a group of animals, 17 animals, and I was the 17th actually. So it was a divided 8 in group, 1 group and 8 in another, and I was the 17th. And I ate the raw meats that were never frozen and fed the other group the raw, so-called raw meat that had been frozen but never cooked. And those, every animal, whether it was a dog or a cat, and those were the animals that I used, all of those animals developed a skin disorder within 6 weeks. Within 10 weeks, some of them were so bad that it was chronic. One had psoriasis so bad that it was bleeding and cracking like it had elephant skin. Many others had scabies, and the rest had eczema. And the eczema was so bad that they were just peeling in those areas quite a bit. So all those animals were miserable. All they got was water in the meat. And the other animal, all the animals got water and meat, some frozen, some unfrozen. The animals who had the raw meat and water had absolutely no skin disease. None. They were happy, healthy, comfortable at the end of the same period.
Very interesting.
So I knew that butter, in my experience, heals any skin disorder, raw butter. So I took the raw butter to experiment and see if frozen raw butter would be different than fresh raw butter. So I took the same batch of butter, froze half of it, kept the other half unfrozen in the refrigerator, and fed the animals that had the skin diseases, broke them up in half, and had half of the group the raw and half of the food that was unfrozen, that was frozen, unfrozen and frozen. The group that had the frozen butter took 5 times longer to heal their skin disorders. The one that had psoriasis still didn't completely heal on the frozen raw butter. So when you're talking about pasteurized butter, you're talking about an even more radical process.
Yeah. So that's why when we talked about the glands and having a thyroid or adrenal or testicle or whatever lung, that the unfrozen is the way to go.
Correct, absolutely.
That's where all the prana is.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm curious then, for those of us who have four leggets and we give them raw meat as their diet, boy, that's a challenge to get that fresh all the time, isn't it?
Well, your four-legged animals?
Yeah, yes.
Your dogs and cats?
Yes.
It's very easy. They eat, well, cats don't like high meat, but dogs love it more.
Mm-hmm.
They need the bacteria.
Oh, so just go ahead and keep fermenting it.
That's right. I mean, you can get the rotten, more rotten, the better.
No kidding.
For dogs, yeah, most dogs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They may have a little diarrhea once their bacteria gets higher. You know, dogs and cats get these awful injections, vaccines that have no value, and poison your animal with mercury and aluminum and formaldehyde and detergents and ether and a whole barrage of MSG and other chemicals they say are inert. If it's inert, why do you have them in there? It's an absurdity. They are poisons, so it damages our animals. So eating raw is very helpful when it reintroduces the bacteria and the bacteria can grow again and the animal can digest properly, then they'll have a little diarrhea, a little vomit. They last a couple of weeks, a month, or something like that. You should let them go through it because they're going to get well. I have one dog that a friend of mine had. It was a pug. It was 15 and a half years old. Was blind, completely blind with cataracts. Was completely deaf. Had multiple sclerosis to the point where he could not even stand. His caretaker had to take it outside, massage his back in to even have to even urinate. It was a male pug. And I put the dog on a diet of raw meat, raw eggs, raw butter, and honey. And in 6 months, that dog was jumping up on the couch. And this dog couldn't move. This dog couldn't stand. Jumping up on the couch, jumping down, running out the doggy door, running outside. Half the cataracts were gone. He could see light. He could see shapes. And and almost all the skin disorder was gone.
Was it fermented meat or just raw meat?
No, just he wouldn't ferment it.
Mm-hmm.
Afraid of it.
So if we wanted to ferment meat for our four-leggeds, we could just do it with the same process you talk about in your books, where
yes.
You put it in the jar and air it out and all that.
Correct.
Yeah.
You do it in the refrigerator if you want it done fast, and don't refrigerate it.
Mm-hmm. And they'll eat it.
Yeah, and don't air it in your house.
No.
Pick your house up. Just take it outside.
I want to get to this because this is a sweet question. Let's see what you say. What is a Ajahnist's opinion of Down syndrome? Can there anything be done to improve this situation?
Well, Down syndrome is always a poisoning. It can happen from industrial production. Let's say a person is in a smelting plant and they inhale enough mercury or thallium or even aluminum, a toxic combination of the three, will cause Down syndrome. Most Down syndrome is caused by vaccines and medication given to women while they're pregnant. I've seen it in the case of women who have those metals in their ovaries, and that metal is put into their ovum. And of course, that's the greatest. That is the greatest creator of a Down syndrome baby. If a woman has those elements of thallium, mercury, and aluminum in an ovary, and it's produced and it's thrown off in the ovum.
Uh huh. Here's an email. It says, "Yikes!" I think you get that a lot. Yikes! Does Ajahnist suggest that we should be getting our meat fresh on a daily basis?
No, not at all. Older the better. If you see my...
I see. So get a bunch of fresh meat at one time and then just make it fermented.
Yeah, just don't ferment it in plastic because you get the BPAs in it and then you will get diarrhea or sick from it. So you ought to put it in glass if you're going to keep it for a while and let it get high. I usually shop once every 2 weeks for my meat. I mean, my meat's stinky by the end of that 2 weeks, especially if it's chicken and fish.
Wow. Gotta love that, man.
But if you put it in glass, the red meat's hardly ever, you know, unless you're opening the jars and letting new air in regularly, the bacteria does not grow.
Mm-hmm.
It needs the air.
Ajahnist, I have a friend who's dealing with Lyme's, and they've been doing research and looking at this thing called L-form bacteria, you know, these cell wall deficient bacteria. Well, what's your take on things like this and these troublesome bacteria? How do we get rid of those?
The only troublesome bacteria are those that are man-made and those that grow in petri dishes.
Mm.
There's no such thing as a bad bacteria, a bad parasite, or bad fungus in the human body. They are most of them are janitors right now. Before, most of them were, you know, digestive and functional bacteria and parasites. All tribes who have trichinosis, the whipworm, digest better and have better strength and energy. And Dr. Weinstock at Iowa University 20-some years ago discovered that when he gave his patients trichinosis, their years, 10 to 32 years suffering inflammatory bowel syndrome, were cured in 5 days.
Well, isn't this Lyme thing, Agenis, a bad...
Lyme disease is non-existent. It's another smokescreen for the pharmaceutical and the food industry with their food additives causing a disease that is very debilitating. It's fibromyalgia, basically, with, fatigue, heavy fatigue.
Hmm.
And, the alternative, so-called alternative practitioners have been calling it chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia for all these years. The pharmaceutical industry needs a new disease where they can blame all of the results of their medication on.
Mm-hmm.
So they're blaming it on ticks. They're always going after nature, blaming nature for everybody's problems. But if you look at nature, those animals, as long as they're not encroached upon, have no diseases, and they're all raw fooders. All the tribes in Africa who eat raw foods had no diseases before man started doing chemtrails and giving them vaccines, volunteering to give them vaccines and promising them better health.
Yeah.
Now they have diseases because of that.
Ajahn, do you think it's worth the effort or the cost to seek out wild meats, moose or elk or bear and all these? You think it's an uptick from doing just your basic cow or buffalo or lamb?
If you lived outdoors and were under extreme stress. Now, when I lived outdoors for 3 years and bicycled all over the continental United States, from Alaska to Yucatan and across the United States 5 times with my bicycle, trying to find out how to be healthy, because I knew I wasn't going to find it in this society with all the over-intellectualisms.
Mm-hmm.
People go to a school to learn for 2 to 4 years, and they come out with all this information and no experience. In the old days, if you wanted to be a carpenter, you had to apprentice for 15 years. Here you get nonsense information, mainly produced by the pharmaceutical industries, that's pumped and regulated into our school systems, and then everybody thinks they're a master of something, and they have no wisdom and knowledge whatsoever, and they have just junk science and bad information. It's really a shame.
So let's kind of wrap on a strange note, but what's your take on what's going on with this swine flu thing, and do people need to do anything?
Okay, nobody can get a swine flu. It's impossible. You can't get another animal's flu. Flu is created by the cells of the animal. And the cell has to be alive to produce this virus. Now, as I said earlier, viruses are not alive. They have no nucleus, respiratory system, digestive tract, heartbeat. They have nothing. They are a protein substance like enzymes. They are protein structures that disassemble cellular structures. They don't go in and dissolve it like, let's say, muriatic acid and make a soup solution of muck, but like enzymes, virus go around and disassemble cellular structures, animal tissue, cellular animal tissue, to regulate and cleanse some specific part of a cell. And there are 300,000 various viruses that cells can make for each particle in their body, for each system. They have glands just like we have, and they have circulatory systems like we do. They are just a microscopic of us, but they are differently shaped.
Mm-hmm.
And most animals are the same way. They have a bloodstream, they have a lymphatic system, they have a neurological system, and they all have the same thing. So you've got all these compounds, cellular structures, which require partial disassemblement. It's like you're going to changing the spark plugs on your car. You're not going to tear the whole car apart. You're just going to change the spark plugs. Next time you're going to change, let's say, a radiator or an alternator or the points, something like that, if a car has points anymore these days. So you go around and take apart specific parts of a cell. You have specific enzymes that are for specific parts of a cell. To have swine flu, the only way you can get swine flu is if it's injected into you. The only way it can get into your blood is that way, or into your neurological system, or anywhere out of the digestive tract. If you're eating animal tissue, and that tissue, that animal had had a flu before you killed it, or at the time of killing it, then you're going to eat some flu substances, but in the digestive tract, it's all going to be taken apart. And those cells are no longer going to be creating any kind of a animal flu that is other than you. If you, let's say, inhale, let's say you work at a factory, a farm factory, a pig farm factory, and you're feeding them all these bad foods and antibiotics, and they have a lot of dander, and you inhale that dander, your body is going to produce a human virus to dissolve the toxic swine flu cells that are in your lungs. You're not going to be producing a swine flu.
Very interesting.
The only way you can get another animal's flu is if it's produced in a laboratory and injected into you.
And do you think there's some live things in these vaccines they're giving out?
Well, anything that is active has an active energy, like mercury and aluminum, formaldehyde, and all that combination of 63 compounds they're calling inert that are all poisonous on their own are going to have some synergistic life. It won't be, you know, a biological life, but it'll be an electrical and chemical life that will do a lot of damage in people.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're concerned that somebody may want you to take one of these vaccines against your own choice, we have various forms on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com that you can download and fill out and notarize and put them in your county or whatever you want to do with them, and they may help in that regard.
Well, I wrote a 6-page one addressing most of the chemicals that are in it that are highly reactive and toxic.
On your website?
Not on my website. You go to the man who handles all the information from my website created a separate website for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to Say No to Swine Flu.
Say No to Swine Flu.
Yeah, Say No to Swine Flu .net.
Okay.
www.saynotoswineflu.net. Mm-hmm.
And Agnes, do you have your schedule on We Want to Live where you're going to be speaking?
Yes, it's all there.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be going to Toronto the weekend after this, and then in November, mid-November, around the 13th of November, I'll be in Cincinnati.
Hmm. And is it, obviously you do it, it must be challenging, but you figure out how to get the food you want on the road?
Absolutely. There are farmers everywhere, and I know where they are.
You know where they are. Yeah. They're not going to hide. Well, Agnes, Founder Planets, it's an honor to have you on the show. Thanks for spending so much time. We had lots of listeners and lots of questions, and well, have fun and take care of yourself, and hope to see you in Central Texas someday. I'd like to meet you.
Well, thank you, Patrick. Some people have been talking about getting me into Austin.
Yeah, well, that would be fun. I think we could get a good crowd for you.
All right.
All right, sir. All the best from us. So take care of yourself.
Thank you, and you also.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Agnes von der Planets, nice fellow, and just great fun, isn't it? Well, here you go. And we do have that vaccine refusal form there right on One Radio Network. com. We're going to be talking to Adrian Salbucci, a very interesting economist and a revolutionary type from Argentina, I think this week, so we're going to have him for you next week. Lots of cool people coming up. Stay in tune to OneRadioNetwork.com. Make sure you're on our mailing list. Then a couple times a week, we don't spam you with anything or try to sell you anything, just a couple times a week, we'll send you our broadcast schedule. And you need to be signed up to hear the podcast anyway. No cost. We enjoy your contributions, and they are really what support the whole game. 5, 10, 20, 25 bucks. Whatever you have every now and again, once a year, twice a year, whatever you can do, it all adds up, and it helps us to support everything that we need to do to bring you these programs live every morning at 10 a.m. on OneRadioNetwork.com, 10 a.m. Central Time, and then all of these shows, podcasts, and I think we have nearly 700 shows on the website. That's a lot of stuff. All right, you little pumpkins, I will see you tomorrow morning for Open Phone Friday. And if you've never been, we always have fun. A lot of just fun, interesting information about life, love, and fooling around on One Radio Network. I love you all very much. It's an honor for me to be here with you each morning at 10 a.m. I'll see you tomorrow in the morning at 10 o'clock. This is Patrick Timpone. Take care. See you. Source on One Radio Network.